It's Tuesday, 8th of December. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hello.
Dominoid.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
And Winx.
Hello.
The year is quickly drawing to a close, and we're running out of episodes to talk about news, but news we shall talk about. We do have things set up for the next month or so worth of episodes, so you got plenty to look forward to. But first, what's everyone been up to for the past week? Rhodes, take us away.
It's a really good question, Ace. I wish I had the answers for you.
Dominoid, what about you?
I've been playing some Warhammer Chaos Bane, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's a game I've got a review for Game Grid, and I've forgotten the name of it, which is not ideal. It's okay.
Good start.
It's a great start. It's like it's a bit like Diablo, but like, you know how like Diablo 3 is like a downgrade from Diablo 2. This is like a downgrade from Diablo 3. So it's like just progressively getting worse as they make more ARPGs. It's kind of sad, but it's all right. You know, don't really know why it's got a PS5 release, but here we are. It's got one. It's got a really convoluted like way of doing the inventory. Like, I don't know if this is how it's meant to work, but it works in a way where you find something and you equip it, and then it doesn't equip, and then you have to equip it again. I don't know, like, someone somewhere has gone, this is a great system, or if it just doesn't work properly. But like, I'm just like, I'll put that on. I'm like, oh, I'll put it on again then. Okay, fair enough. And it's just very odd. Like, I don't know why it does that. But yeah, it's all right other than that.
You're pressing the wrong buttons.
Maybe I am. You know, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if I was pressing the wrong buttons. At least then I'd be the problem and not the game. Unfortunately, though, I don't think that's the case.
I hate to tell you this, but you're the problem.
Well, yeah.
We didn't want to tell you, but, you know, it's best we let you know now.
I'm not game gridding anymore, let me tell you. I'm game sad. No, I've also been playing a bit of Hades. Hades is really good. I said this last week, I think, but it's a really good game. It's great fun. It's a great roguelike. I don't know. I've forgotten words. I've forgotten all the words this week. Well, but no, it's really good. If you've not played it, you should definitely check it out. I won't go on about it too much because I did speak about it last week, but endless fun is found in Hades. Procedural levels and all that stuff that you would expect from one of these games, but it's really good. It's one of my favorite games this year. And definitely agree with all the acclaim it's getting. And other than that, I tried going back to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I still think it's absolute pish. So I'm just going to not do it again.
Well, clearly you haven't spent premium currency to buy the unicorn ship.
I have not. But however, for the sake of continuity on this podcast, I would pay a lot of premium currency to get rid of that fucking bird. But other than
what,
that,
big fun. Bird?
No, if it was Big Bird, it'd be a lot more entertaining, let me tell you. Unfortunately, it's just some raven who's like, look, you can see what I can see. I'm like, I don't, it's not how birds work.
What if you're really good friends with the bird?
I don't know, like that guy in Spider-Man's really good friends with the pigeons, but you can't see where they are.
Does he state that outright, or are you just assuming?
I don't know, he definitely captures the pigeons. I don't know if he's friends with them, but he thinks so. Pigeons may not agree. Maybe because they keep fleeing, maybe they're not.
Okay, Dominoid, what about yourself?
I've been on a bit of a binge this week. Where to start? Geese versus Cthulhu. Who was it? Was it? I think it was you, Rhodes, wasn't it? I was playing this last week. It inspired me to pick it up. It's really weird, ridiculously hard, and I've rage quit maybe 20 or 30 times. Every time I've loaded it back up again 5 minutes later as well.
I've not gone back to it since last week. It was me playing it, and I I just don't want to rage quit it again, so I won't play it again.
The mushroom fishy base, come on.
The yeah, that level was particularly hard, but I really like the feel of it. It has that kind of, it feels like it belongs on the Amiga, if that makes sense. It's that kind of like fast paced, sort of like jazzy dance soundtrack, and it's sort of really arcadey. It could be a Jeff Minter game. But that's the first one. I've been playing some more Sam Max Save the World Remastered. Review is now up on the site. It's really nice. Looks loads better than the original releases. They actually look like the cartoon now. Really, really good. And kudos as well for what I thought was very good was they noted that it was kind of problematic that they had a white actor playing a black character in the initial release, and that has been rectified. Apparently the original voice actor has been accused of some rather unsavory things as well, so double points for recasting. But it's just, yeah, it was a great game to start with, and it's a really good version of a really good game. Read more in our review on www.gamegrin.com. But I have also been playing some Noita. I've spent about an hour playing it. I still have no idea what exactly I'm doing or what anything does, but I think that's the point, and I am enjoying it, so that's fine. I played some Rocky, which is like a really lovely Nordic-themed sort of, but not quite point-and-click. That was really, really nice. And I have been playing Carrion this evening, which is basically one of those things of humans versus a horrible eldritch tentacle monster, but you play the tentacle monster, and it's so much fun. I've also been trying to play Fuser, and it refuses to play for me. Yeah, which is a shame. I really, really do want to play it. I like rhythm action games, and like Dawson was really complimentary about it in the review on the site. Also confirmed that it is usable. It's accessible for somebody who has mono hearing, like I do. But it just refuses to play on my PC. I get a black screen when it loads up after the character creator, and just nothing happens. Never goes anywhere. So yeah, I'm currently waiting to hear back of a support ticket so I can actually play it. But no one else I went through everything on the Steam community forums. No one else is having the same problem, so I don't think it's an issue with the game. It's just something it doesn't like about my specific setup.
Sometimes that a black screen is caused in some games by like an AMD or Nvidia specific software that's running in the background, and when you close that, it works properly. And I've come across a couple of games in the past that's sorted them for whatever reason until they received a future patch.
That's a good shout. That's one of the few things I didn't try, because I did go into the GeForce Experience and update drivers, but I didn't actually go into it and say stop loading things. So more on that next week, hopefully.
I guess it refused to play.
Hey!
Boo. Just for that, you don't get to say your games. Nikki, what about yourself?
Hello. Well, the usual at this point. You should know how it goes. Genshin Impact, Azura Lane, Gacha Hill, somehow still not bankrupt, which is good. Always good to be not bankrupt. I'm like one character away from getting all of the Dead or Alive characters and Azur Lane, and I think I've got like a couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days left to do that, so shouldn't be too stressful. And Genshin, like, basically just trying to get through the rest of the story until before the next patch drops, I think on like the 23rd. But I've hit that point where I actually can't progress because everything's too strong, so I should probably do some grinding and actually level up my characters. You know, that thing you're supposed to do with them in an RPG. But outside of that, the main game I've been playing actually this last week, because it dropped on Game Pass, is Doom Eternal on PC. I was going to jump on it when it dropped on Xbox, but then was made aware it was coming to PC, so waited out for that. And I think in the space of 3 or 4 evenings, managed to finish it. And holy crap, is it a good game. I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but it's a good game. Like, it's so good. My left hand was killing me after all the keyboard mashing after every session, because I'm like, you're literally ducking and weaving, you're dashing around, you're spamming the dash key. How anyone managed to play this on console, I don't know. Because it's just an absolute... It's a kaleidoscope of chaos and colors, is how I'm going to describe it. And it's just beautiful, and it makes me happy that I can just destroy everything. Like, I feel like indiscriminate violence in Doom shouldn't be something that excites me, but it really does, and I love it. And it's just so, like, therapeutic. Except for when the game decides that it's going to throw, like, just a ridiculous number at you, and then a Marauder, and then a Doom Hunter, and then just more, and it just goes on. Like, I think there was one encounter that lasted about 20 minutes, and I was just like, I'm physically in pain. Doom, please.
I don't think you should feel bad for the whole point of Doom is meant to be senseless violence, and it's like so over the top and so very clearly sort of like cartoony and yeah. Ridiculous that you can't, you know, the whole sort of argument of, oh, violence in games leads to violence in real life. Well, it doesn't. It's very obviously out. And I think Doom does it very well, that it doesn't make it realistic. And it makes it, you know, sort of it's a strong argument for violence being a good thing if it's done in the right way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get where you're coming. I'm only now just thinking of, like, that I think it's like a wrestling meme where the guy's like, it's real to me, damn it. But no, I'm not a violent person in general, I swear. But the one thing I was going to say is, like, I was kind of put off actually by Doom Eternal at first, because there is a lot going on. Like, the way all the systems work, it's like, you need to do this to get armor, you need to do that to get health, and this and that. Like, everything, there's a lot to manage, and you're trying to manage your movement, your health. It's like a platformer on steroids that's also shooting needles at you. And at first it was like, oh gosh, this is so much to manage, but actually it really quickly kind of became fluid, and you get into a rhythm, and by the end of it, even though it's chaotic, it kind of feels like you're almost doing a dance with demons, and you've got your timings, and you know exactly when to pop certain things and what sounds and visual cues are what you need to do. So it's like, I got into this rhythm of like, okay, now it's time to set you on fire so I get armor. Now I need to blood punch you so that I get health, and now I'm going to execute you. And then after I finished, I kind of sat there and was like, this shouldn't have worked. All of this is just chaos, and it shouldn't have worked, but it does. And I'm kind of in love with it, just as I was with the 2016 Doom. More Doom, please.
Now, I'm sure there won't be any more games after this, after Doom Eternal. Winx, what about you?
Yeah, I'm allowed to. Okay, I've been playing a lot of games, but like from the highlights, I guess, from the many games I've played, I've been Celeste and Baba Is You, and also Superliminal, of which I'll probably get onto the latter maybe next week, because I'm currently writing a review for it. But I will make a special mention for Baba Is You, because it's a fantastic game. I loved it so much. I've streamed the game a few times between coffee breaks and once for Game Grin, the Twitch channel. So subscribe and whatever. The premise of Baba Is You is deceptively difficult underneath its really cutesy, simplistic 2D facade. It's so adorable. I love it so much. You basically play as this rabbit, I think. Well, debatable or whether it's a rabbit or a goat or something, but I think it's a rabbit. His name is Baba, and you have to try and get yourself to a goal of each stage, and it sounds really simple, and it should be, but it's not. It's far from, because the challenge isn't trying to get to the flagpole or to the goal exactly. It's more of changing the fundamental rules of each stage. So let's say, for instance, you're in a stage where you are stuck inside four walls and there's a goalpost outside. Naturally, you'd expect that these walls would be solid because you're just used to walls, you know, being solid as they are. But in front of Baba, there would be like a set of pushable word blocks that make a sentence, like right in front of you. Like one would say wall, another one next to it would say is, and the one afterwards would then say stop. And together it strings along this complete sentence, wall is stop. And you push one of the blocks out of the way and instantly that sentence just doesn't work. Therefore, the walls don't stop you and you can walk through them. And that's how you get out of your maze. It's all pushing the rules, pushing, like literally pushing the rules. So if possible, like if any, all the rules will be on the stage visible. And if possible, if it can be moved, combined or broken, you can see such chains like wall is stop or rock is push and flag is win, water is drown. And to an extent where it's like Baba is you, the name of the game, where you can effectively change who you are. You can be the rock, you can be the flag, you could be water if you wanted to, if it let you. And yeah, it's been so much fun just trying to understand these puzzles and also doing little meta games inside, like, oh, what's the craziest way I can win with all these puzzles? And it's just such a joy to play. I've always wanted to play it, but I couldn't justify the price tag with, I think it's like either £12 or £15 for like what I thought was such a small game. But now that I like actually bit the bullet and got it, I'm absolutely hooked and I can't wait to play more. And I'm kind of sad that I hadn't played this game earlier. Otherwise, it probably would have been on my nomination for Game of the Generation contender.
Part of the, well, a lot of the fun of Scribblenauts was trying to win in the craziest way possible.
Mm.
So
Cthulhu, always Cthulhu.
So I can see why you would have enjoyed it.
I just enjoyed you watching you play it and just go around in circles for ages trying to work it out. And everyone in the chat going, what if you do this? No, wait, that won't work. Wait, what if you do that? Oh, wait, no, hang on. What?
It's like you can watch my brain just get destroyed slowly over the course of 2 hours.
I just only remember keys.
Don't remind me. Maybe I should stream it next time, sometime soon.
Yeah, make sure you keep an eye on twitch.tv/gamegrin for that. My games this week, Azur Lane. Unlike Nikki, I have not got quite as many of the event girls. I've got like four, and one of those might not have even been one of the event girls. It was a new ship, but I am not convinced it was an event ship. Watch Dogs 2, I have completed. The story mode, gotten most of the collectibles and decided, yeah, that's enough, and uninstalled it. Still a very fun game. I'll wait like 4 years until I get into Watch Dogs Legion. Deus Ex 2, or Deus Ex Invisible War, I thought I was near the end, but then it's like, no, now you've got to go and see this character in this other place. And it's like, ah, well, okay. I don't know how much longer I've got. But make sure you keep an eye on grimgrin.com to follow along with the Deus Ex Diaries. Star Trek Online has today started its latest event, the Q's Winter Wonderland. It's the same thing that they do every winter, which isn't a bad thing because there's plenty to do to get your daily event token, which goes towards redeeming it. Once you've done 20 of them, you get this carrier ship, which looks badass. And I bought a carrier using dilithium, I think it was, a while ago, and thought, well, I'm never changing from this ship because it's a kick-ass ship. And then it's like, oh, here's a free carrier. And, oh, maybe I'm going to change my ship.
Just stick to a ship.
God, I don't think that's possible. There's like 90 different ships you can get depending on your faction. For Q's Winter Wonderland, there's things like races, snowman fights where you have to throw or shoot snowballs at snowmen to kill them. And there's it's not the I've forgotten the name for it, the anti-Santa.
Krampus?
That's the one. It's not the Krampus, it's the Klingon version of Krampus. So it's got some really weird name and it looks like a friggin' beast. That's one of the events is you have to not defeat that, you'd have to stop it from eating all of the gingerbread people and save the gingerbread people. And it's a Q event, so if you're a fan of Star Trek, you know that Q brings chaos, so random chaos is the name of this whole event.
And does it have the guy, sorry, does it have the guy that played Q in it?
No.
Because I know he's done quite a lot of the games.
No, Q in the game, in the Winter Wonderland, doesn't say anything. There is another Q event that they've run in the past where he does say some things, if memory serves. Actually, no, now I think about it, I may have just been thinking of his voice when I read the text that was popping up on the screen. Oh, goodness. Yes, finally, Dauntless has had a pretty big update. Now, if you're a long-time player, tough. All of the work you've put into your armor and weapons is basically for naught, because now they've changed the way that you upgrade your weapons and your equipment. Of course, because you've been playing, or me, I've been playing in the past, I got points towards how they've changed things. It used to be you need X amount of materials and some money and then you can upgrade. Now it's a case of it is too complicated to get into in a 2-minute segment, I'll admit. It also now has a skill tree, kind of like Assassin's Creed, where you've got to find what you want to upgrade and then hope you have enough points to go towards it. And it's just a lot more complicated because they've got exploration tokens, combat tokens, and like two or three others. And you need a certain amount of those, plus a lot of money. Because I was playing while the game was in beta, I'd saved up a lot of money. I've used up most of it in the less than a week that this update's been out, which is just crazy.
That's what they want. Gotta get those sweet microtransactions.
I haven't seen any microtransactions to buy money, though. They're probably in there. I just haven't looked in the right menu, I will admit. Yeah, it's...
It might not be. It's probably just me being cynical.
Well, they've got to make money somehow. It's a ongoing game as a service. It's designed to make money.
Yeah, I'll give them that. I mean, you know, developers have got to eat, right?
Yep. Well, speaking of making money, the Game Awards is this week, and it's been confirmed that Dragon Age 4 is going to be airing some new footage during the Game Awards. Circulated earlier this week, last week, that the narrative team have written four stories that take place in the Dragon Age universe. of course, written by the team, and they released those last week. So on the back of that, they've also mentioned, oh yeah, we're going to be showing off some footage. This new story that I linked in Discord, for some reason, makes a big thing about it's going to mark the first time the new Dragon Age game gets a public outing following the departure of series long-term executive producer Mark Dara yesterday.
So
it's a weird sentence.
Somehow related, I wonder. Is there something that he really didn't want in that trailer, or he really wanted to go back on a particular element of the game, and they told him he couldn't because they've got this trailer, and he just turned and said, well, fine, if you're going to take that if you're going to take that route, I don't want any part of it.
It's entirely possible. The studio general manager Casey Hudson also departed BioWare.
Did they leave to start their own studio, or have they just left and they're seeking other opportunities?
I am unsure.
As far as we know, they've just left to pursue other opportunities, but we don't know what they are. They've not said anything outwardly yet.
Yeah, because I know there's been a couple of big high-profile departures from companies, and I can't remember which one's which. So normally, just sort of in general in business, not just gaming, if somebody leaves without having another job, if somebody doesn't leave to join the director team at other big company, that's usually one of two things. Either they've been told their resignation will be accepted if they want to hand it in, and it's either that or they get fired, or it's that they have quit on a whim because there's something they seriously disagree with. So yeah, the timing seems strange. It may not be anything, and I've got nothing to base it on. So it may just be a coincidence, but it seems a very unusual coincidence to me.
Yeah, that's fair. Is anyone particularly looking forward to the new Dragon Age?
It's a hard one, because I do like Dragon Age as a series, but BioWare, are they really that great anymore? Like, I don't want to say it's going to flop or anything, but there's obviously something going on internally there. And when something like that's happening, it's hard to have faith that anything they produce will be particularly appealing.
I like the first two Dragon Age. Inquisition I've played. I wouldn't say it's made enough of an impact to keep bringing me back, because I haven't played it in, probably a year.
I'll be honest, Dragon Age is another one of those series where I own most of the games. I've just never got around to actually starting them, because they seem like they're going to need a lot of time. So it's just kind of finding the time to put aside to play them. So I guess I'm not really hugely excited for this, and the longer it takes, the better a chance I have of catching up with it. But is it is it fair to say BioWare aren't as good as they used to be? Because haven't they only really had one bad game with the last Mass Effect?
Well, technically speaking, that Mass Effect was a different team within BioWare.
I think it was Anthem, right?
Anthem was their last game, yeah. Which, in fairness to Anthem, like, the gameplay is pretty good. It's just the end game, I think, where it really falls apart.
I'd forgotten about Anthem, which
exactly
probably says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an all right game, Anthem. It's then I think before that it's Mass Effect 3, isn't it? Which again, it's for the most part, it's a pretty good game, and then you get to the ending, and you're like, oh, great. And I think those two, like, the most recent things you think of when you think of BioWare or Anthem, and that ending from Mass Effect, and I think that bogs them down a lot. Whether that's fair or unfair on them, given their history, is a different question. But they definitely are what bogged them down now, I think.
Well, Star Wars Online is by them, and is still ongoing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, that is a surprise.
Yeah, tell me about it.
They're bringing Lord of the Rings Online back as well, aren't they? I think.
Did that ever go away? On it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, good point. But it's just things that you think had vanished, aren't they? Like,
still holding out for Blake 7 Online.
You just keep holding on to that hope. Speaking of hope, Red Dead Online hopes to get all of your money because it has launched as a standalone product now. It is priced at $17.99, except for the next couple of months, you can get it for $4.49 and then buy all of the gold so that you can actually do things. I don't know, I've not played it. But it's out now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam, Epic Game Store, Rockstar Games Launcher.
It does look like a tasty deal, that $4.99, but there's something... I don't know, I'm skeptical about it, just because it comes right at a time when they took away, I think, daily login bonuses for the premium currency, and it just does not leave a good taste in my mouth.
I know you were quite a fan of Red Dead 2 Wings, yeah. But did you ever play the online?
I did not touch it at all.
Right. For those who have not played the online of Red Dead 2, this genuinely, to me, is more of a cash grab than Grand Theft Auto, because just everything costs so much money to do. Like, GTA, like, even if you don't buy, like, the fucking flying motorbikes and underground bunkers and stuff, you can still have a good time with your friends, really. Red Dead 2 is just so, like, pointlessly boring to a point where it's like, if you want to have fun, you have to pay to have fun.
The thing that...
So I was right.
The thing that got me about it, and... is I don't think, like, I think, you know, it's a good deal if this is your kind of game. I'm definitely thinking about grabbing. In fact, actually, someone gifted it to me, so I will be checking out. But the thing that's kind of like ill to me is the fact that it's a ridiculous install. I think it's over like 100 gigs because basically it's you're installing the entire game. You just can't access the single player content, and then apparently it's like you can then buy an unlock to access the story. But it's just like, I have to install the entire game.
I hate that so much. I was going to say something because I even just take a look at it on Steam and it says, oh, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 sold separately. You got to pay for that. What? If it was sold separately, you'd sell it separately. Can I just have the online, please?
Yeah, you'd think it'd be much smaller because it's not just the map that it takes up room. It's all of the audio files.
Forgetting of all the files for the small microtransactions you have to buy. So.
Wasn't there a game that did something similar last year as well that had sort of, it was something like it would download all of the language files for every language in the game, and they were huge.
That's every Ubisoft game ever made.
Possibly, yeah.
I think the one you're thinking of is, and I might be, forgive me if I'm wrong, I have a feeling it was Diablo 3 on the Switch. If you said, like, that's yes, to download, yes. Yeah, to download the additional language packs, it downloaded all of them, and the only way to get rid of them was to basically uninstall the entire game and start again.
No, because our editor-in-chief, Rasha, did that and had to get in touch with Nintendo to have them remove it from his account so that he could just download the game without the additional languages.
I remember it being, because wasn't it something like it was the size of all of the language packs combined actually came out to more than the internal storage on the Switch? So people were finding that they just couldn't play anything. It was near enough bricking Switches.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Got too much game for your console.
Yeah, games are getting a little big.
Well, one game that is probably going to get a little bigger is Prince of Persia The Sands of Time Remake. It's been delayed 2 months. It was supposed to come out in January, but it's been delayed to March 2021. The Facebook post, which wasn't in English, the one that I found at least, says that they want to inform us that they need more time to complete the game. With the date moved, they believe it's the right decision to ensure that they deliver a game you like. I don't know if the translation has butchered that slightly, but...
I mean, surely if they need more time, can't they just wind it back a little?
Very good. Very good.
Do you know, this actually, like, seeing it come out as well, it actually makes me feel really old, because Sands of Time is another game that I still haven't got around to playing. And I got a copy of it free with a graphics card, which I still have somewhere on CD in a little wallet, I think, which I keep meaning to install and play. And so it still feels like a fairly recent game for me. But it occurred to me, it's 17 years old. I got it free about 5 or 6 graphics cards ago.
We've previously discussed the remake when it was announced, saying that it looks kind of ugly.
Yeah, this is like a remake of a remake now.
I will admit, though, Sands of Time, great game. I'll give you that one, Ubisoft.
Yeah, if there's one of the that particular trilogy that you're going to remaster, then that's the right one.
I can't believe that for us to praise Ubisoft, we're having to go back 17 years.
Well, something that was previously released this year is going to come west in February. Persona 5 Scramble, the Phantom Strikers, with its Western name of Persona 5 Strikers, is coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, and PC on the 23rd of February 2021, bringing the Phantom Thieves back to console and new to PC. Because currently the only Persona 5 thing that's available on Steam is an outfit for Sonic Forces.
I said this earlier when the news broke. So for those unaware, this game is a canon follow-on. It's set 6 months after the events of Royal, I believe. Which is frustrating because the game is a Warriors game, which is like, you know, it's you beating up hundreds of enemies, which means I have to play it because it's like my favorite genre. But it's canon, so now I have to go and play Persona 5.
Royal.
I've still got a sealed copy, come on.
Do you do it like people do with Star Wars films, where you just sort of play it first and then go back to the other one later and think of it as a flashback?
Or you could play it and then just bitch about it online. Oh, it doesn't make sense. Who are these characters? How do they know each other?
Sounds like you're speaking from experience there, Ace.
That was something completely different game, but when they did Persona 4 Dancing All Night, that like genuinely caught me by surprise was like, oh, this is canon. This is after the events of Golden. Please don't spoil anything. And thankfully it doesn't. But yeah, but then the thing that got me with that is the Persona 4 fighting games, they're canon as well. And I was just like, and I found that out from the dancing game. It was just like, what? Atlas, what are you doing?
The trouble with all of these sort of canon sequels and various different things that don't have numbers but names, and you know, sort of remakes that are basically DLC bolted on, it makes it a quite impenetrable series. Like, I'd like to play Persona, but it's very difficult to work out where to start.
It's an interesting series because they are all self-contained, like the mainline entries. You don't, like, I'm complaining about the canon here, but you know, you could probably pick up this new game and have an absolute blast. Same as you could say the Persona Q games, but it is one of those series where, like, if you grabbed any of the games, there's bound to be something that's just never explained, is an offhand comment to one of the others. And if you're someone who wants to enjoy it to the full, you might just be like, well, hang on a minute, what? Like Persona Q2, where you play as the Persona 5 cast, is all well and good until the Persona 3 and the Persona 4 cast turn up and you're there like, well, hang on a minute, I didn't play your game. So it's just one of those things, like, yeah, it's a little bit annoying. But I at the same time, the expanded universe, if you will, is good. But yeah, it's a Warriors game. I like Warriors games. I'm noticing a theme to today's episode that I just like to indiscriminately murder people. Please don't all go silent at that point. Save me.
We're all checking our exit paths.
No, Nikki, what are you doing with that axe? Put that down. No! Ah!
That's one. Oh, no. Yeah, moving on.
No, don't move on. Please.
Nikki, why is your voice coming through Dominoid's microphone?
I feel like you need to edit in the Among Us noise at that point.
Well, without a segue, our next news story is about Nintendo. This is going to take a bit of explaining, but bear with it. Basically, fairly recently, the Smash Brothers Melee tournament, The Big House, announced that it had to cancel a December event because Nintendo said that using the Slippy mod for the Dolphin emulator was not allowed. It was a it was damaging their intellectual property and brands. Obviously, that's not ideal for a tournament that cannot take place in person, given, you know, 2020. So they just had to cancel because Nintendo told them to. More recently, the Splatoon 2 North American Open, just double checking my facts. Yes, several teams in the Splatoon 2 North American Open used hashtag Free Melee in their names to protest this, and so Nintendo cancelled the Splatoon 2 finals. And shortly after this happened, it turned out that someone who created and sold cases for Joy-Cons on Etsy received a cease and desist to stop production of a specific one, an Etty-Con, which was produced brought to fruition through Kickstarter and was in memory of the online personality Etika, who passed away last year. 2020 has been a long year. Part of his brand was Joy-Con Boys, and it seems that Joy-Con was one word, and it seems that Nintendo have decided that Joy-Con one word is the same as Joy-Con, which is hyphenated, and they own the copyright to, and told the creator of the Etty-Cons to cease production and not sell these things with their trademark, end quote.
To be fair, it does also contain the Joy-Con logo, like the one that you see on the packaging of the games with the left and right Joy-Con in like a sort of yin yang type design. So
one white, one black. Yeah,
yeah. I can see as much as it's very disappointing that they couldn't just contact him and say, "Do you know what? Actually, we really wish you would have asked us. We need to do a proper licensing on this," because they are ultimately for charity. But are they just for charity? Because the way it's worded is saying that these help support this charity, which to me indicates that he is actually making profit off of it.
Yes, the controller shells were sold to raise money for the Jed Foundation, a mental health charity for teens and adults, because Etika Desmond Amorf, Amorfer, a popular YouTuber known for his Nintendo content, took his own life June last year. And by December last year, the initiative had raised over $10,000 for charity. presumably the Jed Foundation, not the specific controller cases.
That is absolutely brilliant. I'm in two minds on it, because at the end of the day, Nintendo do need to protect their intellectual property to avoid people from being able to use it. If you don't protect it, there are issues in some country where it can just then become considered public domain. But at the same time, like, this definitely wasn't the way to go about it. What really they should have done is contacted him, you know, with a view to, okay, you're doing these things, great, it's all for charity. We need some strict licensing in place to say that it is only to be done in this situation for charity or something like that. Like, there's so many ways they could have gone about it, but they just seem to be very heavy-handedly cease and desisting everything. Like, to the extent, one of the fake gaming news sites last week was running the story about the Nintendo Cease and Desist Mini, which is a little mini cease and desist with 20 of Nintendo's best cease and desist letters from over the years.
Yeah, they see their trademarks reproduced somewhere and immediately send cease and desists. Like you say, that it's their intellectual property, it's their trademarks, their copyrights, but they're the only company I can think of that is so strict about it.
Yeah, there's a point where you've got to kind of decide, actually, is this the hill we want to die on, or is there a better way of doing it? Because cease and desist is just one tool, but it's, you know, it's basically, you know, they're using a mace to hammer in a nail. No one liked that analogy. Okay, that's fine.
No, I thought it was really good. No, let's let it breathe.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's a little more subtle. The Sims 4 has released an update, so it's people who aren't white now have more options, because it's taken them 4 games and multiple updates to add over 100 new skin tones, as well as makeup that actually works on dark skin tones, and some new hairstyles, and lots of lovely stuff for those who play The Sims.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. We kind of saw a little bit of that earlier this year with Animal Crossing, but I think it's about time that The Sims kind of got onto that. It's kind of amazing how long it's taken, just with the default hairstyles and everything as it is. But just on a general level, with having the different undertones of the skin, is really, it's really well done, and it's kind of like the progression that you would assume would happen in a character creation, just in general. Let alone The Sims, which is pretty much like a, oh, it is a life simulator, but it's also like a little dollhouse, a virtual dollhouse too. And yeah, just like dressing up your dolls and stuff like that.
It's a great game to get it as well, isn't it? Because how many people do make sort of themselves and their little friendship groups and their families in The Sims?
Exactly. Like,
we did have for ages, we had, when MZ was on the pod, we had a Greencast house.
Aww. That's really cute. Bring it back.
And when someone left the Greencast, they were killed. No, I don't know what happened.
I seem to remember my sim picking on someone else's sim, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, this was multiple years ago.
Yeah, I was just go back to the undertones real quick. It's interesting to see that come to fruition, to actually come out, and it's not just for darker skin tones. I think it's for most or all, because it's about the undertones themselves, which is different from like the overtones, I guess, which is also, like, I think that's the most important bit. The overtones are the most important bit, but the undertones are really interesting that it gets to that level of detail. You can kind of tell it's something that you would find usually in like matching makeup to skin, so you'll see in like makeup like shops and stuff like that, and you can kind of tell what kind of undertone you have by looking at your veins and seeing what color they are. And you know that you've got cool undertones if your veins are like a, I would say like a bluey purple, and you know that you've got warm undertones if they were like, it's more of an olivey green, yellowy, and the neutral being the middle of both. And yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I did not know that. That's like, we've got a little spin-off podcast here going for makeup. But it is like, it is a good analogy for it, because I mean, even just using that as an example, I know that the world of makeup has taken quite a while to catch up as well. Because I remember, probably about 15 years ago, dating a Sri Lankan girl. She had very, very dark skin, and she really struggled to get makeup that matched her skin tone well, because there was just so few companies making it, and most of it she was buying online at a point when, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be buying everything online like nowadays. And it's only really in recent years that there's been a proper, you know, really good range for all skin tones. So it's kind of, yeah, the whole world is waking up to the fact that, hey, we all look a little bit different.
That's exactly it. And it's just like, yes, it's, I have had those stories where like I've had to go buy stuff for overseas, or like go to specialist shops just to get what I need. That's to do with hair care too, because everything is made for like straight hair or thin hair too. So now that there's like a natural hair movement, now that there's like a more inclusive makeup, like issued in kind of with Fenty, it's nice to see that being replicated in the video game industry too now, with like I said before, Animal Crossing, with inclusive hair, like just different hair, just in general more diverse. And The Sims, which, like I think Ace said before, like it's kind of amazing how it's not been implemented earlier.
I'm just really glad they didn't decide, hey, we could sell this, because sell everything else.
They might start selling makeup. Do you think? That'd be crazy, but no.
Sponsored makeup. Yeah. Oh, buy the Maybelline makeup pack for this.
Maybe she's worth it. Maybe she's not real.
Maybe she's not worth $17.99. Right. That about brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you for joining me, Rhodes, Dominoid, Nikki, and Winx. Of course, don't forget to check out GameGrin.com and keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrin, including Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, for all the latest news, reviews, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing across Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Don't forget that leaving a review, comment, or follow really helps the show out. And while you're at it, game on.